because Lady Potwood's grandson, Joshua Moore, the Marquess of Hallmere, was in town staying with her, as were his wife and children.
"I have been invited because of Joshua," Anne said. "You know how good he has always been to me and David, Claudia."
He had been her friend at a time when the whole world had turned against her, or so it had seemed. He had even provided her with some financial support for several years when she was close to being destitute, giving rise to the very distressing and quite erroneous rumour that he must be David's father. To say that he had been good to her was markedly to understate the case. Susanna had started the girls singing a song in rounds, and they sang out lustily, heedless of any attention they might draw from passers-by. Miss Martin, severe-looking and ramrod straight in posture, did not blink an eye.
"And if I had suspected for one moment," she said, "when you applied for the position of mathematics and geography teacher here 4 years ago, Anne, that that woman had suggested this school to you, I would not have hired you in a million years. She came to the school a few months before that, snooping around with her offensive, supercilious air, noting every worn spot on the carpet in the visitor's parlour, I do not doubt, and asking if I needed anything. The nerve of it! I sent her packing in a hurry, I do not mind telling you."
Anne half smiled. She had heard the story a dozen times before, and all of Miss Martin's resident teachers knew of her undying antipathy toward the aristocracy, particularly toward those unfortunate enough to bear the title of Duke, and most particularly to the one who bore the title Duke of Bewcastle. But Lady Hallmere came in a very close second on her blacklist.
"She has her good points," Anne said.
Claudia Martin made a sound that resembled a snort.
"The least said on that point, the better," she said.
"But lest you misunderstand, Anne, I am not one whit sorry that I did hire you, and so I suppose it was just as well that at the time I did not understand the connection between Lidmere in Cornwall, where you came from, the Marquess of Hallmere, who lived at nearby Penhallow, and Lady Freya Bedwin."
"Miss Osborne!"
Her voice rose above all other sounds as the girls paused in their rounds, and Susanna turned a bright, laughing face and halted the line.
"Lady Potwood's, I believe,"
Miss Martin said, indicating the house next to which they had stopped.
"I would rather you than me, Anne, but have fun."
David detached himself from his position in the line to join Anne. Susanna grinned at her, and the crocodile continued on its way toward Sally Lunn's, beyond the abbey on the other side of the river.
"Goodbye, David,"
a few of the girls called, bolder than they would normally have been when out in public. The holiday spirit prevailed.
"Goodbye, Miss Jewel. Wish you were coming too."
Claudia Martin rolled her eyes and struck off after her cherished girls. As Miss Martin had just indicated, it was not the first time Anne had called upon Lady Potwood at her home on Great Pulteney Street. She had called here with some trepidation, with a letter of introduction 4 years ago, when she first came to teach at Miss Martin's school, and she had been invited to return several times since. But today was a special occasion, and looking down at 9-year-old David after she had rapped the knocker against the door, Anne could see the light of excited anticipation in his eyes. The Marquess of Hallmere was his favourite person in the world, even though they did not often see each other. Joshua had been invariably kind to him, though, when they had met. Twice, when Anne and David had been invited to spend a week of a school holiday at Penhallow, the Marquess's country seat in Cornwall, and twice when the Marquess had been in Bath and had called at the school to take David out in his curricle. And he never forgot to send gifts for birthdays and Christmas. Anne smiled down at her son as they waited for the butler to open the door. He was growing up fast, she thought ruefully. He was no longer an infant. He behaved rather like one, though, when they stepped inside, and could see that the Marquess was coming down the stairs to meet them, grinning cheerfully. David dashed toward him, all childish eagerness and voluble chatter, and was swept off his feet and spun about in a circle while he laughed joyfully. Anne, looking on, felt an almost painful constriction about the heart. She had poured out her mother's love on her son for 9 years, but of course she had never been able to provide him with a father's love, too.
"Lad,"
the Marquess said, setting David back down on his feet.
"You must have a few bricks in the sole of each shoe. You weigh a ton. Or maybe it is just that you are growing up. Let me see."